T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Appreciate you guys tuning into the show each and every day. You know, sometimes, and I think that the good shows around America, they know when to veer off the script. They know when something else is hot. They know where to go with it, and they're willing to do that. I have a tweet today, and this is not uncommon for me, that went viral. And I wish everybody could experience the joys of this at least once in their lives. It's really a lot of fun.
Do you really want to put this on somebody else? You want someone else to feel this?
Lonzo, you don't. Lonzo, this is fun.
Okay.
Is fun. What are you talking about?
Which is the one who loves pain? Is it sadistic or masochist? I always get those confused. You would know. Which one is it?
I think it's masochist.
Okay.
Likes pain. Yeah, but Lonzo, this isn't pain. This is a conversation. This is debate. This is enjoyment. If you're in sports media and our job is to engage our audience, what can you do to better engage your audience than what we're doing here?
I'm almost embarrassed to say where I work because you're so wrong, though. You are so wrong. I've had so many people ask me, does he really believe that? It's like ask him.
Tell them 120%, Lonzo. And see, if you're embarrassed by attention, you're in the wrong field.
No, I'm embarrassed about how wrong you are. I mean, because
based on what you think.
Yeah, you're right. We're a team, at least from my standpoint, we're a team. So when one of us is really wrong, we're both wrong. And it's just
Well, no. You're your own man. You have your own thoughts. But the reality is, if you look at the ratio here, and in social media terms, people talk about ratio, right? The ratio is 800 comments to 371 likes. So it's 68% are against me and 32% are for me. And some of the comments are for me. If you agree with my take, if you're a person who lives in Atlanta, from Atlanta, lives in Houston, from Houston, you agree with the take. If you don't, you don't. So it's not wrong. It's not dumb. It's how I grew up. Let's get to Brad Crawford, who wants to take me to task on this. He is our good friend from 24/7 Sports. All right, Brad, so you're in the 68%, I'm in the 32%. Where did I err here?
I mean, just the fact that you broke it down by percentage, likes versus dislikes, Mark, that just shows me, man, you are way too into this right now.
Oh, it's fun. It's a blast, man, dude. I'm having fun with it.
We lived in Orlando, Florida for 2 years. I was sort of an Orlando Magic fan. I've been a Braves fan my whole life. There's an NBA basketball team in North Carolina where I live, but that doesn't mean that I have to be a Hornets fan.
Sure.
I mean,
no, it doesn't. Of course not. You don't have to do that.
I just don't understand the take. I don't get the take.
Okay, so the take is simply, you can like your college team, but when in your professional teams, pick a city, like the teams from that city. I don't get how that's wrong. I mean, that's how I grew up, Brad. You know, I lived in Houston. You like the Astros, you like the Rockets, you like the Oilers, which has now become the Texans. I then lived in Tampa Bay for 15 years. You like the Rays, you like the Bucks, you like the Lightning. Okay? If you're going to abandon one team, you abandon all the teams. You just like the teams.
So how about the NBA? So how about the NBA fans that are LeBron fans and they follow LeBron wherever he goes?
Be a fan of LeBron. Okay. Yeah. Be a fan of LeBron.
So you can like multiple teams then.
Well, I don't think you like the Lakers. I don't think Lonzo likes the Lakers. I think you and Lonzo like LeBron. I liked Tim Tebow. Wherever Tim Tebow went, I rooted for Tim Tebow. You see what I'm saying? So I want to just get to a couple of things here. Pittsburgh Tony says, Mark, could not agree with you more. Being born and raised in Pittsburgh, I've never even considered pulling for any other teams that were not Pittsburgh teams.
Sounds like Steelers, big city
Pens,
bias. That's
Pirates,
what it
and
like.
Pitt, even though I have lived in the upstate for 25 years, that's my take. Then you have another take that says, hey, guys, Mark, your narrow focus on your fandom is one of the first times I have to disagree with you. I'm a U of SC fan, but as a military brat, I move so much that I have picked up various teams to like. I'm a Denver Broncos fan and a Nuggets fan. I like the Celtics and in baseball. I'm Atlanta all the way. Later. My point is simply to say, sometimes on social media, it can give the impression that everybody's against you, but there's at least a third of the people that are with me on this and understand where I'm coming from. Anyway, Brad, always appreciate having the debate with you, brother, and let's get to some college football, shall we? I was shocked.
Yeah,
I was shocked at Alabama versus Georgia over the weekend. Shocked. I picked Georgia to win. The first half looked like I thought it would. The second half, is Nick Saban the only coach between he and Smart that made adjustments in the locker room? What's going on there?
So I was pretty shocked too, Mark, that Georgia went away from its game plan. Had a good bounce in the first half, led by 3 points at the break, and then in the second half, they started rolling out Stetson Bennett, which is, plays in Alabama's strengths. He threw two interceptions in that half. Alabama had a 21-0 run. And really the biggest surprise in that game for me was not only did Najee Harris, have 150 yards against the best defense in the country, but Alabama's two first-round wideouts, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, really manned up and played excellent against Georgia's two elite corners who were probably draft picks as well. So I think right now you're looking at Alabama's wide receivers, Mark, as probably the best position group across all positions in college football.
When you consider that last year they had Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and Waddle and Smith were third and fourth, I mean, are we talking best wide receiver core in the history of college football there?
I think you got to put it up there. I mean, I know when I was in high school in the mid-2000s, USC had a couple – 3 to 4 deep wide receiver cores with Matt Leinart out there on the West Coast. That was very good. But, I mean, this is pretty studly. The last decade, Clemson has had some, good 2 and 3 deep wide out groups. The Gamecocks have had too. But, I mean, talking about from a national standpoint, those four guys now, 2 first-round picks last year and probably going to have 2 this year, been pretty impressive. All those guys are 4 and 5-star recruits too. Don't forget about that part.
All 4 and 5-star recruits, and it's incredible. I guess the thing we didn't know about Alabama, Brad, is if Mac Jones was good enough to get them the football. That has been answered in the affirmative. I don't recall seeing much of a drop-off at all or sensing much of a drop-off at all this year from Tua to Mac. So is it the quarterback at Alabama, Brad, or is it the system?
No, I said 2 weeks ago, Mark, that Mac Jones was the best quarterback in the SEC, and that was with Kyle Trask coming off a 6-touchdown game. Jones has been the most efficient quarterback in college football. Sans Trevor Lawrence, and he's done it against some pretty good teams. So I just think he's been putting the ball in the money with precision all year long. Nick Saban said in August that, let's pump the brakes on 5-star freshman Bryce Young, playing this year because we got a guy named Mac Jones who comes back with a few games under his belt, and we expect big things. So I think right now, though, the way Mac Jones is playing, he's making Steve Sarkisian, Alabama play caller, a lot of money. I wouldn't be surprised if Sark's back in a head coaching job very soon.
Yeah, he's doing an amazing job, amazing job for the Alabama Crimson Tide on that one. So we welcome the Big Ten back to football this week, Brad. There are some massive lines here. Ohio State minus 26 over Nebraska. With this long of a layoff, are the Buckeyes even going to score 26 points, Brent?
That was a question that I had in my column today too, Mark. I don't think you're going to see Justin Fields and that offense go full throttle just yet. But, based on Nebraska and Scott Frost's tenure so far in Lincoln, I'd probably lay the points here with the Buckeyes. And just thinking to me that Ohio State's defense is going to be way ahead of Nebraska's offense, I think.
Yeah, it really does seem to be that way. Tennessee, You know, the truth is always, almost always somewhere in the middle, Brad, on all these things, on Mark Ryan's bad takes, on opinions in college football. The truth is always usually somewhere in the middle. Tennessee, we were told all offseason they're back. Then they look like they're not back. Could the truth actually be somewhere in the middle? Could they be improved but not quite there yet as they welcome Alabama to town this week?
Yeah, I think Saturday's loss to Kentucky was sort of a punch in the mouth for Jeremy Pruitt, his staff, and those players who really looked for a half against Georgia to be back as a top 15, top 20 program. And you come home and lose, you know, for the first time in 36 years at Neyland Stadium to Kentucky. And it wasn't just a close game. I mean, it was a 27-point blowout. Lots of turnovers from Jared Garantano. Right now, he has really angered that, you know, big orange fan base. So I wouldn't be surprised this weekend if you see multiple quarterbacks play against Bama. And, I mean, really, I think you can chalk last week's loss up to maybe looking ahead. You know, this was a game that Jeremy Pruitt and those guys have circled all offseason. Supposed to be the year that they played Bama tough and potentially beat Nick Saban into that streak. And then they go and, you know, lose a tooth against Kentucky. So that was the biggest surprise, I think, in week seven across the board to me.
I would totally agree. Tennessee was a 6.5-point favorite. They were never in the game. Never in the game. So what do we make of Kentucky, Brad? I mean, this is a team that has some dudes on it. They play great defense. The passing game is still a bit their bugaboo. But Mark Stoops, I'm starting to see his name mentioned in some of the elite coaching conversations throughout college football. What do you make of the Wildcats in general?
Yeah, I think Mark Stoops is a great coach. You know, he usually overachieves with talent that, you know, doesn't compare to the Floridas and Georgias and even Tennessees of the world. You know, he's doing this every season, 7-5 or better with, you know, three-star guys. So they're doing a great job of getting the most development out of their talent. And you look at this season, they started off slow with that loss to, you know, Auburn and Ole Miss, and then have won back-to-back games. So that's going to be a very interesting game on South Carolina's schedule in later part of the season. It's obvious that Kentucky once again is very good in the trenches, and that's what has cost the Gamecocks against them, you know, before last season, the last couple of years.
And look, we've got to give credit where due. I did not pick this game. I did not pick South Carolina to beat Auburn. Congratulations, Brad. Congratulations. Greatest predictor of future behavior is past behavior, right? We've seen South Carolina stub its toe enough in these big games. That was a prove it game for me. You know, I guess I think the thing that most South Carolina fans want to know is, Brad, is this really a turning point game? Can Gamecock fans expect things to be different moving forward the rest of the season now?
Yeah, that was a very good matchup for South Carolina, and that's kind of what I saw going into that game. Auburn at number 15. I mean, I've called them the most overrated team in the top 25 long before that game kicked off last Saturday, and I really had a good feeling South Carolina would, you know, come out the way they did and win that game. Really a strong second half, one of the better second halves during Will Muschamp's tenure. You know, the major question this week, Mark, is, you know, will that momentum continue into Baton Rouge, a place the Gamecocks, I think, have won once all time? The major storyline heading into Saturday night, though, is, you know, will Miles Brennan play? I've been told by several insiders from our LSU publication that he will not. You know, they're going to go with a first-time starter. So I think that plays into Will Muschamp and that defense's hands. Still, it'll be a very tough game, though, no matter who plays under center for the Tigers.
But if you're the Gamecocks, you got to expect to win this game now, right? I mean, you're a better team than LSU this year. Did the Gamecocks realize, Brad, they're a better team than the one they're going up against on Saturday?
I think they do after beating Auburn on Saturday. But, you know, it's still a totally different environment. If this game was being played at Williams-Brice under the lights, I'd probably take South Carolina. And, as a matter of fact, I think the Gamecocks might be favored, too, if that game was at home. But this is still LSU. They have an elite roster. Obviously, they haven't shown it this season. And Bob Pelini, Mark, we've mentioned prior that, you know, he's been one of the worst coordinator hires in the SEC. One of their corners, Derek Stingley, said this week that they've simplified things in practice. They've had an extra week to prepare for this one. So I don't think you're going to see LSU, you know, losers of back-to-back games come out flat on Saturday.
Brad, I'm interested in hearing your predictions on the four teams that will make the college football playoff as of today. I have the same three that everybody else does, but I got a surprise for you, and that's Texas A&M. And it's in part because they're not going to be playing in the SEC championship game, and they have no other top 25 opponents, at least teams that are presently ranked, on their schedule the rest of the year. So they're already in the top 10. I can assume at number 7 they're just going to continue to climb. They only have to climb three places. I've got the Aggies in the playoff right now.
So let me ask you this. So if Oklahoma State finishes unbeaten, wins the Big 12, or Oregon is 7-0, wins the Pac-12, does that supplant Texas A&M as the 4 seed?
Oklahoma State, yes. Oregon, no. For me, Brad.
Okay.
Because I think this thing that the Pac-12 is doing feels like a high school, the current high school season to me. It just feels like kind of a joke. Like
yes,
kind
it
of
does.
A sham.
No open weeks, no room to move games. It's very rest, I think, in Pac-12 country.
So what do you think? Who are your four, Brett?
So my final four right now, Mark, is Clemson, obviously, is the overwhelming number one. Bama's number two. Ohio State, three. Like I've said before, I don't need to see them play just yet to consider them better than Georgia right now. Georgia is hampered by the quarterback position, and then Georgia would be my four spot. But in order for Georgia to make the playoff, though, I mean, they're going to have to beat Alabama in Atlanta, and I don't see that happening. But right now, if you told me to choose four teams, Bulldogs would definitely be in that mix.
He's got Georgia going in. So what do the Bulldogs do now, Brad, about the quarterback position? You know, all the batted passes for Stetson Bennett on Saturday. Does Kirby Smart look at that situation a la Dabo Sweeney with Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence and say, I got to go with the guy that has the higher ceiling for us?
Yeah, you know, there's a reason that JT Daniels, the USC transfer, hasn't played in a game yet for the Bulldog. We don't know if it's health-related. We don't know if, you know, he's been struggling in practice. But there's a reason that Kirby Smart has enough confidence in Stetson Bennett to, you know, play him the whole game at Bama despite those second-half struggles. I think you're going to see Georgia continue to go with Stetson Bennett. You know, he was a guy who had a very good first half against, you know, the second-best team in college football. So I don't think they're bailing on him yet. But as of right now, this season is not going the way that Kirby Smart thought it would under center. You know, it was Jamie Newman first, then JT Daniels, and then they even started Dwayne Mathis, who struggled against Arkansas. So they're down to their fourth quarterback right now, who's playing better than most, you know, walk-on four-stringers. So I just think with Stetson Bennett at quarterback, Georgia's not, you know, college football playoff semifinal potential.
There you go. There you go. Great insight. We get it every single week from Brad Crawford at 24/7 Sports. Invite you to read his material, folks. It's some of the most compelling in the country. And you can follow him on Twitter at bcrawford247. Always appreciate the conversation, Brad, and the debate. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Good to hear from you.
You too. Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports, here right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN. So you guys are going nuts on the text line here. This is a lot of fun. And what have we learned from this season thus far in the SEC? This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get caught up on some of your texts and tweets. Let's see. Hey, guys. Mark, your narrow focus on your fans is one of the first times I have to disagree with you. I'm a U of SC fan, but as a military brat, I move so much that I have picked many various teams to like. I'm a Denver Broncos fan and a Nuggets fan. I like the Celtics. And in baseball, I'm Atlanta all the way. Later. You're close. You're close to being where you need to be. You know, just pick up the, who is it, the Avalanche in hockey, right? Just pick up every Denver team, and then you're there. Get one, get all. You know, this really isn't that offensive thing. Texter says, it's not a discussion. It's 700-plus comments telling you you're a moron for this take, and it's not a viral tweet. Don't kid yourself. It has 86,000 views in 3 hours. If that's not viral, I don't know what is. Texter says, Mark, love your show. However, you don't believe this dumb take on sports teams. You're smarter, and your show is better than that. Do better in your prep for tomorrow's show. This texter in Rob's show said that I can go bleep myself. So, you know, sir, you have nowhere to go but up with me today, and I come out with a take because I believe it. You know, it's not up for you to tell me what a good or bad take is. It's a good take because Mark Ryan has it. That's what makes it a good take, all right? And I believe it, and I can argue it, and I can support it, and I'll continue to do so. Let's see here. Texter says, get a dedicated text line for this station. I shouldn't have to start my message with ESPN. Also, the return text advertising the Rush Limbaugh show on your sister station is annoying. Your ratings make all of these things that you wish possible. Your ratings, your support makes it all possible. Makes it all possible. 100%. Believe you me, I have these conversations with management. Believe you me about that. Texter says, so I'm curious, Mark, if you have chosen a city to pull for and that city doesn't have a team for every major sport, would you say that you can't pull for a team in that sport? Of course, I'm reasonable, man. I'm reasonable, Jeremy. If your city doesn't have a hockey team, pick a hockey team you like. For instance, if you're a Seattle fan or you're just not allowed to have a favorite NBA team. I love you, Mark, but this is a dumb take. It's the way I grew up, man. It's the way I grew up, you know, like it in my neighborhood, that's what you did. You weren't allowed to like the Oilers and the Astros and not the Rockets. You weren't allowed to do that. And it's just something that's been weird to me, man, since I've been here, that there's so many people who like the Braves and nobody likes the Falcons. It's just, you know, like the Braves slogan, we realize this, right? The Braves slogan says for the A. What does the A stand for? For the A. You get all the teams or you get none of the teams. That's what that means. For the city. If you're not for the city, you don't get any of the teams. It's just how it goes. And so look, am I saying you're not allowed to be a Carolina Panthers fan? No. Be a Carolina Panthers fan. You absolutely can be a Carolina Panthers fan. But if you're also a Braves fan, you at least on some level have to also accept the Falcons. Listen, folks, it's fun. It's sports. You know, that's what this is. You know, it's a great debate, and I love it, and I have takes like this. And, you know, like Green Day says, I want to be the minority. I'm down with being the minority. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. You can get to us via the text line at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. Twitter is there for you as well, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. And finally, email Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways to get in touch with us here on the number one rated afternoon drive show in the upstate of South Carolina. So anyway, I was thinking about this in the SEC. What have we learned? What have you learned? What have you gleaned from the SEC thus far? What do you take away from the SEC thus far this season? There are a few things that just absolutely positively jump off the page to me in terms of what I'm taking in terms of what I'm seeing. Number one, Florida is going to have to be adequate on defense to beat Georgia. That's because Georgia is adequate on offense, and Florida isn't currently there on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Florida and Georgia are inverse images of one another. Georgia's a lead on defense, Florida's lead on offense, but Georgia is at least respectable on the offensive side of the ball. If you can put up 24 points against Alabama, you're respectable on that side of the ball. Auburn knows that Georgia's respectable on the offensive side of the ball. So does Tennessee. Florida is not yet respectable on the defensive side of the ball, but it is not a talent issue for the Gators. In no way, shape, or form is it a talent issue. It's a scheme issue, it's a coaching issue, and it's a development issue. And Todd Grantham coming over, with Dan Mullen is not doing a good job. This is the worst job that I've ever seen him do. But realize this, folks, it's not just a problem with the Gators. This is a problem with the entire league. This is a problem with the entire SEC. Do you guys realize that to date, if you look at the entirety of the college football season thus far this year to date, if you look at the entirety of the year, the SEC is giving up more yards per game than is any other Power 5 conference in college football. I mean, that's not what the reputation of the conference is, right? The SEC is allowing more yards per game than any other conference right now in college football. Folks, what I'm telling you is absolutely and completely and totally true. This conference right now has a problem. The offenses are way ahead of the defenses, and the defenses have no hope. All right? Points per game allowed. The SEC, 30. Conference USA, 29.4. Sun Belt, 28.9. American, 28.9. ACC, 27.1. Points per game allowed. Yards per game allowed. The Big 12, 380. The Big 12 and the SEC have reversed places, reversed courses on the defensive side of the ball. The Big 12 is 380. The ACC is 396. The American is 403. The Sun Belt is 411. Conference USA is 414. And teams in the SEC are giving up an average of 416 yards a game. Not only that, but if you look at teams in the SEC who are allowing 300 passing yards a game, in 2012, that number was zero. 2013, zero. 14, zero. 15, zero. 16, zero. 17, zero. 18, zero. 19, say it with me now, zero. Number of teams allowing 300 passing yards per game this year in the Southeastern Conference, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five. Five teams. There is a defensive issue. Number two, Kentucky and Mark Stoops can beat anybody in the league. Can beat anybody in the league. They may not have the firepower that some other schools do. They may be lacking some of that firepower. But the reality of the situation is that they play great defense. And if you give them the football, if you turn the ball over to them, you have a Tennessee-like situation on your hands. Don't think for a second that that couldn't have been Florida that Kentucky was beating. Don't think for a second it couldn't have been Georgia. It couldn't have been Texas A&M that Kentucky was beating. You give them the football, that defense, that coaching staff, don't beat themselves, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So Kentucky, for me, can beat any team in the SEC. Number three, LSU, ladies and gentlemen, is the West's worst team. They are the worst team in the best division in football. File that under something you never thought you would say when the season began. File that away under what you never thought and never expected to say. If you lose to Missouri, whose only win is LSU, and if you lose to Mississippi State, whose only win is LSU, you are the worst team in your division, and you are the second worst team in the SEC. How lucky is it for LSU that thus far they have played three games in the SEC? And according to Mark Ryan's power poll, they have played the 14th team, the last ranked team in the SEC, Vanderbilt, the 12th ranked team in the SEC, Missouri, and the 11th ranked team, Mississippi State. They have played nobody. Folks, the South Carolina Gamecocks should wipe the floor with LSU. Brad Crawford, you just heard Brad Crawford say they're probably not even going to have their starting quarterback. You should wipe the floor with LSU. I think this is a game where we don't learn anything about the Gamecocks if they win, and we learn a lot about the Gamecocks if they lose. Because this on Saturday should not be a competitive contest. This, you have a good team and a bad team. Sometimes, folks, say it out loud. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And then finally, you know, it's something we tend to kind of roll our eyes and laugh at the coordinators who are kind of like the blowhard coordinators who you know, are loud and their faces are always red, and we don't look at those guys as CEOs. But up until this year, Ed Ogeron did a great job at in Baton Rouge with the Tigers. And Sam Pittman, folks, is the hire of the year for the Arkansas Razorbacks in the SEC. You don't know who he is. His name doesn't carry the cachet of Mike Leach or Lane Kiffin. But he's turned that offensive line around. He hired Barry Odom from Missouri on defense. They should be 3-0, that 3-1. They got robbed in the game against Auburn. And, you know, isn't it something how when Arkansas was given Georgia all they can handle in the first half of that game, the first game of the year, we didn't think to ourselves, man, maybe Arkansas is better than what we thought. We thought to ourselves, man, Georgia's not that good. And we were wrong. Georgia, even with a loss, is still the number four team in the country this year. Even with a loss, they're number four. I'll tell you, Sam Pittman has the Arkansas Razorbacks playing inspired football. And I've already lost a bet on Arkansas this year. I took Arkansas to win fewer than 1.5 games. And I thought that was the no-win, gimme bet of the century. Remember how we all felt bad for Arkansas when they got Florida and Georgia out of the East? Now as a Gator fan, I'm looking at Arkansas as a losable game. It's a very, very, very losable game. And had the correct call been made in the Auburn game, and had they beaten Auburn, we'd be talking about the Arkansas Razorbacks as a top 25 team right now. I also must say that I've been very hard on former Florida quarterback Felipe Franks, and he looks like a whole new man in Arkansas. He spent his time off recovering from that broken leg, broken foot. He spent his time off recovering and getting, you know, becoming a better player, understanding defenses. He's now flashing the potential that Gator fans never saw of him in Gainesville, Florida. All right. Coming up next, who keeps clicking their pen in the mic? A texter says. That's not me, is it? Let's see.
You're the only one on, so yeah, I would guess that would be you.
Is that me?
Yes, that would be you.
Let me see here. A texter says, just getting a lot of, like on social media, Lonzo, this has been viral the entire day. Mark, For the A didn't start until this year. They changed it from Chop On because of the social unrest of this year and thought it was best not to offend Native Americans. So your take on For the A is totally dumb and you are trolling. Nice job, though. It gets you ratings and clicks. For the A means For Atlanta. They have the same slogan in Houston, For the H. It's not For the A in Houston. That would be For the Astros. It's For the City. It's For the City. Now, if you actually made this topic today, my take, a national poll, what you would see is anybody who lives in cities that has big league teams, like I would have 90% of the vote. And anybody who doesn't live in cities with major league teams would be hurling insults in my direction. That's the way that it goes. That's just the way that it goes. But you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is sometimes, man. And, that's how I feel. That's how I feel, except all of a city's teams, or except none of a city's teams.
Should I throw the flag on the it is what it is after the you chastised me for saying that?
Did I really do that?
Yes, you
did.
Did
I really do that?
You just said it is what it is.
Did I do that? Oh, no.
Two or three times right at the end of the take there.
Oh, no.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my God. Give me the flag, man. God, that's awful. All right, anyway, Can We Stop is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. All right, let's get right to it. It is time for Can We Stop? All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. Lonzo, this one is hard for me because in my family, some members are guilty as charged. What do Italian people do, Lonzo? What do Italian people do?
See, now you're goading me into talking about stereotypes.
Oh, come on. What's an accurate stereotype for Italian families? An Italian family.
That they cook really good Italian food.
And they enjoy...
I don't know.
Eating.
Oh,
they
okay.
They enjoy eating.
So what you're saying is that all Italian people are fat.
I'm saying that all Italian people enjoy eating, and you, with that statement, are guilty of the stereotype, not me.
No. I ask if you were asking that because you were implying, and I just wanted to clarify so you wouldn't get in trouble.
Lonzo, I'm not worried about it. But my family is guilty of the certain members of my family are guilty of the following, and it drives me up a freaking wall, Lonzo. Making noise while you eat. I can't handle it. Italian people enjoy their food, right? And part of enjoying their food is sometimes they do things like they smack their food. Sometimes I've got a member of my family.
Yeah, you've never done that on the air
I've got a member of my family. Hey, Lonzo, if the shoe fits. I've got a member of my family, Lonzo, that sucks like the marrow out of the bones while you're sitting there at the table, okay? This is a member of my extended family. And, you know, it's one of those things like I almost feel like when I go to the dinner table sometimes, I got to put earplugs in order to enjoy my meal. I cannot stand, man, the noisy eaters. I cannot freaking stand it. Please, somebody, make it stop. Close your mouth while you eat. Be respectful of those around you. It shouldn't make similar noises to the animal dying when you are eating your food. You know, I shouldn't hear anything close to that. So anyway, Lonzo, that is my beef. That is my can we stop for the day.
And I completely agree with you. I can't stand it either, to the point where I will go into another room and eat by myself so I don't have to hear other people making that noise.
How would you like to have a family member that is sucking the marrow of the bones right in front of your face? How would you like that?
Have you ever thought about... confronting them on this problem?
I thought about putting myself up for adoption is what I thought about, Lonzo. That's what I thought about. What do you got today?
Do we really have time? I don't know that we do.
Let's get to yours on the flip side. Can we stop, ladies and gentlemen? What is this? This is the thing that people keep doing in society, this thing that you keep seeing over and over and over again, and it really, really, really just kind of dries your grits. Really dries your grits. What is that thing that you keep seeing? We're here, Lonzo's and yours, when we come back right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. All right, Lonzo, can we stop for the day? What do you got?
All right, in this world of COVID and the pandemic, there is something that a lot of people are having to do, and it's called Zoom. Can we please stop exposing ourselves on Zoom and pretending like we didn't know the camera was on? Enter one CNN Jeffrey Toobin, who did that and exposed himself to a ton of people and lost his job. And you keep hearing about things. Well, I didn't know the camera was on.
He wasn't nude, was he? Please tell me he wasn't nude. How would he have lost his job for boxers? You don't lose
No. It was the full Monty, if my understanding is correct.
Oh, my God. Yes. He was on camera nude?
Yeah, well,
But he thought he was below the waist was safe, right?
That was his excuse, yes. So here's my advice.
Fired.
Yeah, well, fired. He's been suspended at CNN, so he'll probably be back to work tomorrow. But listen, dress like you're dressing for work if you're doing a work Zoom. And then you don't have to worry about all that stuff. Pretend like every mic is live. Pretend like every camera is filming. And then you don't do stupid stuff and you don't lose your job and you don't expose yourself to everybody.
How do we do at pretending our mics are on the whole time? How do we do pretending that people can see us at all times? How do we do it then?
I don't understand the question.
Like, do we do a show that is basically as open and honest as we are off the air, we are on the air?
No, you do a show where you think everything should be on the air, which is why it's good that we're not live on Facebook or on Zoom.
That is also true. That is also true. My philosophy on shows, guys, is the more real you can bring into your show, the more of your life you can bring into your show, the more off-air conversations you can bring on the show, the better the show is going
but
to
these,
be.
But these guys are always surprised. Oh no. Yo, man, put some pants on. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, if you have nothing on beneath your shirt and tie, Lonzo, that's a you problem. You know what I'm
Maybe
saying?
You feel like you're putting one over on everybody. Hey, they don't know. I'm sitting here naked.
Okay. I bet that turns people on getting away with something
well,
like that.
Well, you could be sitting there naked right now. I don't know. Radio is different. I could be sitting here naked right now.
I'm not going to lie, Lonzo. There has been a show or two that I've gotten by in boxers. There has been
Good
a show
for
or two.
You. You're at
okay?
home. I
yeah,
don't
there
care.
There has been a show or two. But today I have on baby blue basketball shorts. And a baby blue is the color of the school that I taught at. It says Rayburn on it. Sam Rayburn High School is the school that I taught at in Houston, Texas. So I've got the matching baby blue basketball shorts with a shirt. I think I'm okay today. I got bare feet on. I don't know if I get trouble for that.
Yeah, but, my feet are bare, too. We're good.
Yeah, I don't know if I get in trouble for that, but that's what I am rocking today. You know, it's funny, though. Sometimes I've like looked down in a commercial break, and I'm like, Mark, you're on the air, dude. Go put on some shorts. Go put on some jeans or something, man. Come on. Be better. All right. The top five at five is coming your way next. Right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.